When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we'll talk anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. Before we begin, I want to remind you guys so you can read our content on nj.com/Eagles and make sure to bookmark that. And also you can get that's where you can get the latest Eagles news and analysis. Today, once again, I'm joined by co-host Caden Steele, but we have a new addition to our cast right now. We're going to our trips package right now. We have somebody new, ladies and gentlemen. It's Bob Brookover. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, we got a bunch formation now. I don't know what we're going to do out of it. We're going to go down the field. We're going to run. We're not going to run. We're going to pass. Anyway, go.
Yeah, we'll use some motion. We'll actually use motion in this offense. I think I like that. But yeah, Bob's joining us for the rest of the season. He's helping out when it comes to that. And Bob, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I've been doing this business for about 40 years now. I covered the Eagles before for the Inquirer, covered the Phillies for about 26, 7 years for the Inquirer, did the Eagles for I think, seven or eight. Was a general columnist at the Inquirer for 7 years, I think. General sports columnist. Before that, I worked at the Delaware County Times and the Camden Courier-Post. And started at NJ.com covering the Giants. And middle of this season, I got traded to the Eagles, gained a lot of games in the standings. Looking forward to the whatever runs ahead here, last 5 games and into the playoffs. And looking forward and already enjoyed working with you guys and looking forward to my first No Huddle podcast with you two.
Thank you very much, Bob. We're looking forward to talking to you today and you joining us. You know, it's great. And we're also now going to Caden. Caden, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Glad to have Bob here for his first episode. And I'm excited, you know, similar to Bob, for these last 5 games to see what happens. Obviously, you know, for Eagles fans who are listening to this podcast, you probably didn't love the way things went Sunday. But this month of December is going to be a pivotal stretch. And it's probably be, you know, a bunch of, you know, people just having high pulses, just, you know, freaking out, especially the way this team's been playing recently. But it should be fun down the stretch. And the atmosphere at the link, and then, you know, for you, Chris, you know, traveling on the road for some of these games, including that Seattle game, is going to be a fun way to end the season for you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. You know, always that when they go down, especially with this upcoming game, which we're going to talk about later, this Dallas Cowboys team going down to AT&T Stadium, that atmosphere is always a little crazy at times when you get all the Eagles fans that travel and you get all those Cowboys fans down there. But yeah, it should be interesting at the end of the season. Well, the one part that we saw their last game, which makes this upcoming game puts even more weight onto it, was that 42-19 loss to the San Francisco 49ers. We all were there in the press box to witness what happened. And yeah, it wasn't pretty at all when you look at what the way that the Niners dominated both sides of the ball. I think whenever you talk about the bright spot of a game probably being your special teams and your punter, it ain't a good day. So you're looking at that. So I'll open up with this right now. I'll start with you, Bob. Bob, what do you think the biggest worry is with this team after that lopsided loss?
You know, just getting that defense together. You know, the fans and you know, a lot of outside noise for weeks and weeks as the team went to 10-1 was that there's a problem with Brian Johnson and the play calling. And in the meantime, while all that was going on, the defense was kind of quietly falling apart. They've allowed, I think, 435 yards per game over the last 5, nearly 30 points a game over the last 5. You know, and if you look at that in the context of where would they rank if they did that all season, they'd be, I think, 31st in points allowed and last in yards allowed. So that, you know, that's got to be fixed. You know, Sean Desai, we had a news conference the other day. I think he was asked 21 questions or 20 questions. And I think he used a "we got to be better" line about 21 times out of those 20 questions. They weren't all about that. But, you know, he basically was well aware that there's a problem and it needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed in a hurry. And, if it's not fixed in some regard this week in Dallas, where the Cowboys have been averaging 40 points a game at home this year, it could be ugly this Sunday night in Dallas.
Yeah, it really could. You know, right now, currently his team is allowing 350.6 yards per game, which has them, you know, we hear all the time that Nick Sirianni talks about they don't like being the bottom 10. Well, yeah, they're flirting with it. Caden, what about you? What have you seen? What did you see from last night's game that has you worried?
Yeah, it's hard not to pick defense, right? Especially watching Kyle Shanahan, and albeit he's a great coach and he does it to a lot of, you know, defenses, but I know exactly where to pick on with the linebackers and to go to Juwan Jennings against Eli Ricks. Like, he knew exactly what to do. This defense has a lot of holes. Against Buffalo, they couldn't get any third down stops, it seemed, against Josh Allen, especially on third and long multiple times. He tore him apart. So defensively, there's a ton of concern. And I think most realistic, they got to fix that because, you know, if they can't stop anyone, they're not going to win any games. But offensively, the concerns with Brian Johnson and the way they've been productive this year is still real to me. In that game against the Niners, they lose 42-19, but you go back and if they score two touchdowns instead of 6 points in the red zone, and I know it's a lot of what if, you know, and that didn't end up happening, but it would have been 14-0, and that game could have been a lot different. Could have got a big lead early on. The offense hasn't been efficient all year. Even though they still rank top 10 in most categories, you know, they still score a lot of points. They still get a lot of yards, but it's never looked super efficient. And there's not been a point this year consistent where I've been like, this offense is as dangerous as it was last year. So because the defensive is struggling, the offense, you know, they need to play even better. And maybe you could say that's unfair, but last year you felt like they could make up for any, you know, struggle maybe the defense would have. They could compete in any type of shootout. They had everything that, you know, was that you wanted for them to win games, you know, offensively. This year, the run game hasn't been as efficient, and I know fans are clamoring, you know, outside the NovaCare for them to run the ball, but at the same time, even when they do, it hasn't been super efficient. The offensive passing game still looks kind of clunky, especially recently, and a lot of that has to do with Dallas Goedert being out. But just overall, it just seems like things aren't fully gelling. Like, there are moments where you see things that you like, but it's a real concern at this point in the year where we talked about last week on the podcast, Chris, where we talked about the identity of this Eagles offense. And I'm still not sure what that identity is, at least the one that's going to help them, you know, get back to the Super Bowl, because week in, week out, there is too much inconsistency for this team to thrive and, you know, be a offense that really threatens the top defenses in this league, like the 49ers. And they couldn't do it last week.
Yeah, you both make some very, very good points. And when I look at this, the thing that really worries me, you know, I'm going to get a trifecta here with defense, but I think it's just overall this team has trouble getting off the field in terms of third down. They're dead last in the league right now in terms of third down defense. They're stopping offenses 47.3 times when they're facing them. And we saw that on display against the 49ers. 49ers were constantly in second and short, third and short. I mean, there's times, I mean, they were doing the 49ers were doing a great job getting substantial yards early on and things. It opens up your whole entire playbook. And we've seen right now that when this back seven is struggling at times, they're playing off at times. And I know the cornerbacks have said that, hey, you know what? It helps them see the quarterback better and allows them to get picks. But I think your biggest trouble is around that second level when you look at the linebackers or safeties, what have you, that are helping to try and help out with that. You're seeing they're not being an effective job. And it's one reason why I think they made a move that we'll talk about later. But that third down defense, especially those good teams like you're seeing, like the 49ers, like you could see against the Cowboys. Like, I mean, you can't put it past now the way they've been playing the Seattle Seahawks. Those three teams right there are really good, are going to give you issues with the talent they have. So I don't know what you can do right away to immediately fix that, but something has to be done, because if not, this trip that we all thought that, hey, you know what, we're going deep, at least NFC Championship game, probably Super Bowl. Yeah, that's the type of defense that could find you, if you don't tighten that up, you could find yourself out in divisional round. This team's too talented to let that happen, but hey, it's setting up for that. Now, Caden, I'm going to ask you, when we look at this as well, too, we're going to go back to the offensive side of the ball. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, he's sliding a little bit more than we've seen, too. Whenever they're running the zone reads, they're not being as effective as they were, too. Is it time to be concerned about Jalen Hurts and his ability to run the ball when you look at the way he's done so far this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is time to be concerned about his ability to be as explosive as he was. I'm not going to go as far as David Carr and say, you know, Marcus Mariota needs to play or anything like that. But I do think there is something to the fact that I'm not really sure if he's fully healthy, because at times he doesn't look. I know the brace is off and everything now, and you know, I played through the knee bruise and all that, but it still doesn't look like the Jalen Hurts that we're used to. Even, you know, the stat, and it's something a little, but last year he averaged 4.6 yards per carry. This year's 3.6. That's a whole yard different, and it might not seem like a lot, but it is a lot at the end of the day. And I think offensively, especially when last year, I felt like, you know, it really helped the offense at times, especially with the RPOs, but it wasn't exactly needed because the pass offense with Shane Steichen was so much more, I guess there's just so much more of a rhythm to it. It was so much more explosive just from the eye perspective. And this year it's not. And when he's not able to now to break down defenses with his legs as much and able to escape and make big, you know, 20, 30 yard runs, it's an element that's missing that could really, really, really help, you know, spark this offense. And we've seen it so many times in past years, ever since he stepped in for Carson Wentz as a rookie, where when this offense is dead, he's able to make plays with his legs. And give him credit for developing to the pocket passer that he is. You know, he's taken huge steps, and it's one of the reasons he's, you know, generally considered a top 10 quarterback in this league. But it is a concern right now, and it's something the Eagles offense needs. They really need Jalen Hurts to make some of those extra plays right now, because everything around him is, you know, not performing to the level it did last year. So going down this stretch, you have to hope there is some type of, you know, way that they can get him involved and get him more explosive in that area. And obviously you want to balance that, Chris, you mentioned him sliding more, and that's also what you want to see, because you don't want him getting, you know, injured. And he's already, you know, gone through some injuries with the knee and the shoulder. Like, you want to be able to, you know, protect him. But at the same time, like, Brian Johnson has to find a way, you know, to get the run game going. Like I mentioned, it hasn't been, you know, super efficient with DeAndre Swift of recent. And there's been moments where Swift's gotten the ball and he's made some big plays, especially in that Kansas City game. But they need something to get things going. And right now you have to wonder if Jalen Hurts, you know, has enough, you know, in him to be able to get that going, because something's obviously off. But offensively, as a, you know, as a quarterback, you know, you still believe that he can do things from the pocket that can help you win games. But long term, there is some concerns, especially if you want to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and to give you guys some ideas about what his rushing numbers look like, I know he just dealing with that bone bruise around earlier this season. Since the bye week, since he had that rest, 33 rushes, 114 yards, which is an average of 3.5 yards per carry, 10 first downs and 5 touchdowns. And we know the brotherly shell is part of that, but yeah, when you take all the quarterback sneaks out of it, it only goes up to 4.5 yards per carry, 6 first downs and 2 touchdowns. So yeah, something the Bears watching for the rest of the season when it comes to that. And I'll turn it over to you, Bob. You know, you wrote a piece at NJ.com that everybody can still read about now about this Eagles defense. And I want to ask you about this. Do you think it can be fixed, or do you think this is what they are? And do you think it's well good enough to carry them to a Super Bowl?
Well, I think the good news for the Eagles is before this 5-game stretch, They played their best defensive game of the year against a team very similar to the 49ers in terms of motion packages, trying to create confusion by doing all kinds of different things pre-snap. And they played their best defensive game of the year. They held the Dolphins to the 244 total yards. That's a season low for the Dolphins, who at that time, and still are, but at that time were the number one offense in points and yards. And they came into the link, and the Eagles played. Sean Desai had a great game plan. He basically said, Tua, you're going to have to beat us with your arm. Rather than, you know, all downfield, rather than with these short passes in space. And that, you know, they made it work. Since then, not much has worked for the Eagles. Let's look at their yardage total since then. 472 against the Commanders, who had been destroyed by the Giants the week before that I'd witnessed. You know, I remember just looking at the numbers as I was sitting at the Giants game, and like, what don't they get about Sam Howell that you can just easily stop him? But anyway, and then 406 against the Cowboys. And then it's 336 against the Chiefs. That number goes up to 387, I think, if the ball's caught in the end zone. At the end of the game, which could have cost the Eagles a loss there, but it wasn't. So you just say it was. The Bills became the 28th team ever against the Eagles to put up 500-plus yards. They got 505. Now, they needed overtime to do that, admittedly. But then the 49ers put up 456 and became the first team since 1966 against the Eagles, the 1966 Cowboys, to score touchdowns on six straight drives. A real problem there. The Eagles, you know, they got to go back to figuring out a way. Obviously, one of the issues here was they were without Zach Cunningham, who, in my opinion, is their best coverage linebacker. They believe they're going to have him back this week. He was limited in practice yesterday, but sounds like there's a good chance he's back. And also now they've brought in Shaquille Leonard, who as recently as 2 years ago was arguably the best linebacker in the league, certainly one of the best linebackers in the league, a takeaway machine. When I see the number from that season, he had 15 takeaways in 2021. That's a ridiculous number to even fathom. Is he the same player? I kind of laughed. Somebody asked him yesterday, you know, well what happened the last 2 years? And he kind of like sheepishly said, two back surgeries. Two back surgeries will slow you down a little bit. He said he couldn't run for 5 months at one point, you know, after he had the first surgery, I guess. There's some question about how good Shaq Leonard can be this season. I think the good news for the Eagles is that's a low risk. And if you look at, I'm just looking at his Pro Football Focus grades here, correct? You know, right? And so let's go 6, 7, 8, week 6, 7, 8, 9. He had a 75.6. That's above average, his overall grade. Run defense, 86.7. Well, that's star average. And we're talking this season, 68 against Cleveland, 70.8 in New Orleans against New Orleans, 73.8 against Carolina. And his run defense, good. And then he had a really bad game against New England, his last game, and got released coming back from the bye. But, you know, there's some signs of him being the player there. Daryl Slater, our colleague who covers the Giants, who I covered the Giants with for the last year and a half, he caught up with Bobby Okereke, who was his teammate in Indianapolis for 4 years. And he just talked about the mentality of this guy and the way he practices. And just his nickname is Maniac. Is there a better nickname for a linebacker than Maniac? I don't think there could be. And he just said the way he practiced was off the charts. It taught him how to play. And having covered Okereke, you can see like, oh, that's where all that came from, because Bobby Okereke is that kind of player. So I'm really eager to see A, the influence he had in the locker room, has in the locker room, and B, what he has left. I mean, this is also a guy who was obviously a great guy off the field. He won the Ed Block Courage Award with the Colts. He was their Walter Payton nomination for Man of the Year, which is, you know, Dwayne Johnson this year is a prestigious, probably the most prestigious award in the NFL for the players, I think. So, you know, this is a class guy with who's a beast. You know, go back to your original question. Can the Eagles fix their defense? I don't know, but they're trying. And this is, we'll see if this guy can have, what kind of impact this guy can.
Cool. And you mentioned Shaq Leonard and the difference he can make. Kate, now throw the same question to you. Do you think that Shaq Leonard will be able to make a difference in this defense?
I guess it means, you know, what type of difference? In a sense of him reverting back to his old form and being called the maniac and getting 15 takeaways, probably not. But he could be an upgrade over Nick Morrow. And obviously Christian Ellis, you know, got released yesterday. But I think he could be an upgrade over what they currently have with N'Kobe Dean out. But there are, you know, there are reasons why the Colts released, you know, Leonard. And it probably has to do a lot with those two back surgeries. Just, you know, going through Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, seeing, you know, multiple clips of, you know, Shaq getting, you know, beat on some plays, taking some bad angles, or it just looks like maybe the athleticism isn't there anymore. So, you know, at this point in the year, when you're going into week 14 and you're having to sign a linebacker that was cut by a team that looks like, you know, it's going to make the playoffs in the AFC, and they got some, you know, pretty good linebackers, Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed, but it shows you they don't think, you know, Shaquille Leonard is the same player that he used to be. They felt, you know, pretty good about just releasing him. And he is a good guy, and he was beloved by the fans, but it seemed like, you know, they think his best football is behind him. So maybe, you know, a fresh start would do him good, and the Eagles will get lucky. But going, you know, to sign a linebacker that has in some injury concerns, that saw his snaps decrease this year, to pretty much a two-down linebacker, he wasn't playing, you know, all three downs, I think it's really concerning, and I don't know if it's going to fix the defense. And getting Zach Cunningham with him back will really help. Zach Cunningham's, I think, been one of the biggest surprises of this entire season. He's been their most consistent linebacker. So if you can get just what 80% of Shaq Leonard was, or 75% of Shaq Leonard was, and then I think you have a win there. But it makes you kind of think back to the offseason, especially the way this linebacker just units play this year. The team really thought that N'Kobe Dean would take that next step, and not sure what he is as a player yet, because he's been injured so often this year. We don't know if, you know, he is the long-term answer at that position. And then the other position they never really addressed. They signed Nick Morrow, cut him in training camp, brought him back. They brought in Miles Jack as well at the same time as Cunningham, just kind of throwing, you know, taking chances out there and hoping one would stick. And Cunningham did, but it makes you think how he evaluates linebackers. It's something that he doesn't necessarily address in the offseason. He let both TJ Edwards and Kaiser White walk in the offseason. And, you know, they had their ups and downs, especially in that Super Bowl, but for the most part, they were a really, really consistent group of linebackers. Probably the best linebacker play that the Eagles have had in a long time. You let both go and you try to repair it with N'Kobe Dean, hoping he would be the next guy. And then you took a chance on a couple other guys. And I think it's led to the most inconsistent group on the team, arguably. I know the secondary's had some struggles. So now you're bringing in Leonard to kind of fix it the last second. I just don't think, you know, that strategy is, you know, really smart. You had to do it. Like Bob said, they're trying to fix their defense. They realize the group isn't really strong, and you hope Leonard's, you know, his IQ and his experience and the way he approaches the game, you know, helps you fix some things. But athletically, you know, does he have anything, you know, left compared to what he did, you know, a few years ago? And the answer right now is probably no. So Eagles fans should probably, you know, simmer down the expectations and not expect the all-pro version to show up. The guy who for a long time was talked about as the best linebacker in football, Fred Warner. Nah, we'll see what happens, you know, starting Sunday if you play.
I'll just tell my quick favorite. We got this guy after he got released and wasn't wanted anymore, linebacker story in Eagles history, probably in Eagles history, is Jeremiah Trotter, who the Eagles released, or let go as a free agent. He signed with Washington, played 2 years there. After his second season, they were disappointed in him. They released him. After pleading with the Eagles to sign him in the summer, late in training camp, the Eagles signed him. They made him sit, I think, how many games was it? They made him sit like six, I think. Let's see here.
Was that the Mark Cimino year?
Mark Cimino was the guy they wanted.
Oh, goodness.
One, two, three, four, five. He played special teams for five games, was maybe their best player on special teams. And then finally they said, I think somebody had to sit out in week six. He came in, had eight tackles, tackles for losses, and a pass defended. And then he had to sit for two more games and play special teams and was kind of eased in on packages. And then they got killed by the Steelers. And the following week, they said, okay, Jeremiah, you're our starting linebacker now. And he made the Pro Bowl. And, you know, he was a starter for the rest of the year for a team that went to the Super Bowl. That's the best case scenario for a linebacker who a lot of people didn't think had anything left in him. So if that can happen, I will say this. Jeremiah Trotter's problems were his knees, not his back. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's an injury you got to – it bears watching. You know, I was talking to a couple people while this is all going on. I was talking to a couple people around the league, and they think that's what's hampering him. He's still trying to get his feet wet with this, but you're a little bit more half past the season, and not a lot can change in that time. I don't know. Maybe it's a whole change. I mean, one person said there was some issues with the scheme and his – him trying to get back to working to in thing, it wasn't really meshing well, and they wanted to give him a chance to go out there and do his thing because they respect him a lot. So
the thing that would encourage me most is the endorsement from Bobby Okereke, and also what he said yesterday. I asked him, you know, the group was around, but I asked him, you know, do you have something to prove here to the Colts? And he said, yeah, I want to prove it to the Colts, but I want to prove it even more to myself that I can still play. So that, you know, the determination, and you know, just hearing the Bobby Okereke, what he said about the guy, you know, the all out effort to do this is going to be there. And there is also something to be said for players, you know, when a guy has a resume like this guy has. I think it's hard to be a leader if you're not on the field, but you know that he's going to at least have the instant respect of everybody in that room who's going to. I saw with the Giants earlier this year with Justin Pugh when they signed him, you know, a veteran guy, and the offensive line was a mess. And all of a sudden you had a bunch of all the offensive linemen kind of gravitating toward him and, you know, seeking his advice on different things. So I think you can see that. Not that Zach Cunningham and Nick Morrow need that. They're veteran guys themselves, but even they, I'm sure, have the utmost respect for Shaquille Leonard's resume.
Yep. It's a good one when you look at everything. All right, guys, we reach our final topic today is Sunday night's game itself. You know, I'm going to ask you guys each to answer this one, and I'll start over with Caden. Caden, the Eagles who are going to AT&T Stadium where they haven't won in the last five games, the Eagles can win this game if?
If the defense can stop CeeDee Lamb from getting going and stop Jake Ferguson this time around, I think, you know, the pass defense has been super inconsistent, even with the addition of Kevin Byard. A lot of that has to do with the inconsistency inside at nickel, and that's where CeeDee Lamb likes to line up a lot. And I know Bradley Roby made a big play against the Chiefs by forcing that fumble inside the red zone. But in my personal opinion, just from, you know, the eye test, he's not been, you know, super great. They've been throwing an Eli Ricks in there still, and he had – arguably his worst game as a pro on Sunday against the 49ers. So if they can stop CeeDee Lamb and from having a big day and kind of limit that pass offense from getting going, they could win this game at AT&T Stadium. But they got to do that first, and that seems like a tall task.
Bob, I think the Eagles will win this game if...
It goes back to what Caden just said there about a turnover in Kansas City being all the difference in that game. They need to force Dak into some turnovers. You know, he's been better at that this year. But he's still prone to throwing interceptions. He's got 6 this year. To win on the road in a place where the Cowboys haven't lost in 14 games and have been just dominant this season, and they actually showed some vulnerability against the Seahawks for the first time all season. That was really the only close game they've even played there. But you're going to have to force a turnover in order to beat him, at least one, probably two. If you can do that, you got a shot. And you know, they're also going to have to score here, because as I pointed out, the Cowboys are averaging 40 points a game at home this season. So you're going to have to hold them at least into 30, and you're going to have to score with them some.
And I agree with a lot of you guys saying. I think the Eagles win this game, it's going to have to be complimentary football in terms of this. You have to, and I'm not asking for coffee like this guy was, like those two guys that were standing outside the NovaCare complex. I mean, it's cold, and when we're recording this, it's cold, and down here in South Jersey and in Delaware, it's just some snow flurries right now. But you got to run the ball effectively. They need to tweak that run the game a little bit. It's not the end-all, be-all that you need 40 rushes per game and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but tweak it to the point. The one thing I'm still waiting for to see is this team was having a lot of success when they are running out the pistol formation, where Hurts is still a couple yards behind the line, behind Jason Kelce to get the snap, can still see the defense and see what they're trying to do, but you have Swift, Gainwell, what have you behind them to be able to still run effectively and get that head start to run downhill. I look at the regular Hurts under center to try to change some of that stuff up, and the play action pass that comes off of it. Because I really think if you start establishing that, the Cowboys, especially when you see their defensive backs, they agree. If Deron Bland, especially, he takes a couple steps in and then you run out and up on him, I think you can burn him. And I look at what the Seattle Seahawks did, especially this side with DK Metcalf. I think you rely a lot on A.J. Brown the same way he did that on the play action pass to burn him that way. And the more and more you run the ball, keep that time possession, you don't have to put that defense out there. You lower the score, you win the game. It may not be pretty, but at this point right now, you need a tiebreaker. You need a division, and you need that one seed overall.
I like your game plan a lot.
Hey, I wish to be a fly on a wall in those meetings. I just wanted to be there one.
I think you should outline that and hand it to Nick when we do our little after the Friday news conference when he just does the informal thing. Here, Nick, try this.
I feel like we have to chuckle within the wound bleep 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 bleep. Anyway, hey guys, thank you guys very much. Bob, this is your first. You made it through. You're part of it as well, too. You made it through it. We got the trips package works.
We got to do our predictions.
Yeah. Oh, you going to do that? All right, cool. What do you guys got?
Yeah, I guess I'll start off first. You mentioned, Dallas putting up almost 40 points at home this year. It's going to be really, really tough. It's a big game for both teams. The way that Dak Prescott has been playing this year has been super impressive. And the MVP conversation, last week, we all saw Jalen Hurts, name at the top of that conversation. Now this week, it's been Brock Purdy and it's been Dak Prescott. And through 13 weeks, Dak Prescott's been playing some of the best football of any quarterback in the league. And Bob mentioned, they need to force him into turnovers, and they really do, because, Dak's been more careful with the football this year. The offense has been a lot more efficient. And the way this defense has been playing, even with the addition of Shaq Leonard, I can't see them stopping Dallas at Jerry's World. I really can't. And then on the other side of things, offensively, they do need to score a lot of points. And, they scored 28 last game against the Cowboys. But the offense, had some struggles in that game, especially against that pass rush of Dallas in the first half. We all saw Jalen Hurts, take that low hit from DeMarcus Lawrence, come off the field, cause a scare, at Lincoln Financial Field. But the Eagles defensive line, or Eagles offensive line, is obviously really good. But this Dallas defensive line, they stack up with some of the best in the league. And they do on the other side as well. The offensive line is really good with Tyler Smith, Zach Martin. They can give Dak plenty of time. So it's tough to beat a team twice in a single year. And I know Eagles fans don't want to hear this, but I think they're going to drop this one in Dallas, you know, like 30-27. So it's going to be a close game, but I don't know if they're going to have enough firepower this time around.
Hey, no worries. You got to tell it like it is. You got to go with that. Bob, what do you got?
Well, I'm just going to give you a score and the good news. The score, I'm with Caden on a lot of the things he said here. I think the Cowboys are going to win this game 31-24. I think the great news for the Eagles is they still really have their own fate in their hands as far as the division. Losing in Dallas is a disaster in terms of that number one seed, because I'm not sure the 49ers lose again. Their toughest game left on the schedule is at home against Baltimore. It's obviously a tough game, but the 49ers look like the best team in the NFL right now. And you know, I think they're better than the Ravens. So if the Eagles lose this game, they could be giving away the number one seed. The good news is they're not giving away the division. Yes, they'd be tied with the Cowboys at that point. They'd both be 10-3. But the Eagles hold the tiebreaker. Should the Eagles win out, should they be able to? And that's no guarantee, because they got to go to Seattle the following week. Not an easy place to win. They haven't won there since the Phillies won the World Series. And as we know, that's getting up to be a long time ago now. I was at that game. If they beat Seattle and then win their last three games, the Eagles would win the tiebreaker with the Cowboys and still win the division and force the Cowboys to go the wild card route through the playoffs. So it's not the end of the world if they lose this game. If they win this game, now they're looking at a good chance of having a number one seed. It's a really important game, but it's not dire if they lose to the Cowboys Sunday.
Well, you know what they say about the triple whammy, so I guess the Eagles are going to win, because I'm picking the Cowboys as well too on this one. I just look at the way I look at Dak Prescott and how he is home and away. It's night and day. And I know he covered the Eagles the last time he was up here at Lincoln Financial Field. He had a decent game and save for him stepping out of bounds with a 2-point conversion and other things. We'll probably talk about that first game as a loss. When you look at him when he's on the road, he's thrown for 8 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. When he's at AT&T Stadium, 18 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So I look at that there's something about the place. I don't know if the Eagles have to walk around the outside with sage and do something or whatever have you. I don't know if they change their pregame routine when they're eating down there or something like that. But I just have the Cowboys win this game 34-31 and buckle up for, because it's going to be this last 4 games after this Cowboys game. Oof. It's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching, a lot of red zone Sundays and everything else with that. So with that, guys, I want to thank you
Wait,
okay. Oh, it's called timeout. We got timeout.
Because you made me think of something when you were talking about doing their little voodoo dance to try to win. Two things. Here's what they need to do. This goes back to 2009, and Dave Spadaro was caught on tape spitting on the star.
Spuds. No.
Yeah. So maybe they could either try that, or they could have bring back T.O. to do it. You know, the dance on the star, and then, you know, and kill him the star. You know, those are the two things they could do. Other than that, no. You know, I just wanted to tell those two stories. Anyway, close it up, Chris. Take us out.
I can show you one thing that you won't see. You won't see Jalen Hurts doing a guitar thing as he's coming out the locker room to the field. I can assure you, you won't see that. Anyway, Caden, Bob, thank you guys for joining the show today. It was a lot of fun doing this. For everybody else that's listening, thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. Make sure you subscribe to it. Also, make sure you continue to check out nj.com/Eagles. We'll have all of our content on there. So for Caden, for Bob, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good one.